Effective Methods to Improve American Universities. Commentary. What can stakeholders do to improve universities in California and beyond, both private and public? A good start would be to pare down or dismantle the unnecessary Federal Department of Education, which apparently is unfolding at this time. A recent Epoch Times survey found that the vast majority of respondents were in favor of scaling back or even shuttering the agency. The DOE funds a small portion of public education, and much is ideologically driven rather than guided by rigorous academic models. Utilizing phonics to learn reading should have been a major priority, but it wasn't. Overall, the DOE has been complicit in mediocre or poor results in educational outcomes for students since it was established in 1980. Next, some would argue that state departments of education are also unnecessary, because most funding of public education arrives through an assortment of taxes at local levels of governance. Historically, education was in the hands of local communities and parents, yet the government has become excessively involved and often fails to be responsive to the diverse needs of local school systems. While district and state testing are important, students can also be assessed on their portfolios, projects, and writing samples. State education departments could eliminate redundant mandates in order to support rigorous core subjects and trade courses that obviate the need for college remediation courses. Moreover, every state should welcome competition regarding the growth of charter and private schools, as well as school choice opportunities. Third, the university student loan program could be carried out by banks and credit unions rather than distant government agencies that aren't operated like a business. If students see that their loans are acquired closer to home, they might be better motivated to repay them after graduation. Too many students fail to repay loans or fall far behind in their repayment schedule. Any negligent borrowers would be pressured to repay loans so that taxpayers wouldn't be left on the hook to foot their bills. Loan forgiveness shouldn't even be part of the equation because character is built through responsible repayment. Fourth, terminate divisive identity politics that have infected all educational levels with groupthink. Restore the tradition of competition on a level playing field, also known as equality of opportunity for all students. Admission standards ought to be applied evenly to all applicants to keep graduation rates from nosediving. America was founded on meritocracy, not on special favors for certain minority groups or the coerced equity of prearranged outcomes. While it is normal to value natural diversity, it should be accompanied by the strings of personal responsibility and equal rights. Fifth, there are far too many administrators and insufficient numbers of professors and students in higher education. This trend can drive up the cost of education for students. By the time students reach college, they don't need to be coddled with an array of superfluous programs. They should be able to think for themselves and be curious about, and even question what they are learning. They should also be garnering experience in the real world of internships to better prepare them for self-reliance. Sixth, students ought to be encouraged to work part-time during the academic year and full-time during the summer to gain practical experience that could help in career choices. Keeping busy with their studies, coupled with productive labor and voluntary activities, can build character and keep students out of trouble as they weave their way through the learning process. Challenging work can assist with the transition from college into occupational environments. Seventh, restore rigor to the academic curriculum across the range of all disciplines, not merely for STEM or science, technology, engineering, and mathematics courses. The arts, humanities, and social sciences also should demand critical thinking and refrain from promoting ideologies that foster conformity. Eliminate the concepts of grade inflation and social promotion. Students should be challenged to study big ideas from the past that can shape the future, and also be curious to study views they might not agree with. Eighth, it might help to create civics courses for university students, because far too many states aren't teaching civics in public education. By doing so, students could learn more about the entire history of American progress, as well as study comparative history and passages from literature that have stood the test of time. Studying civics can help students become engaged and responsible citizens who are well informed. Ninth, encourage the reduced usage of technology devices so that students can actually read books and journals and carry out genuine research. They can also reflect on what they read and then write coherently in a variety of genres about knowledge that has been gleaned from in-depth reading. Informal reading outside of assigned material is also acceptable as long as reading and writing skills improve. Finally, promote the benefits of lifelong learning. Formal and informal learning are critical in helping to develop a zest for knowledge and wisdom for a lifetime. Moreover, this continual learning can lead to greater career choices and a broad range of interests that can benefit American society.